Okay, so in the resurrection, there's no marriage. There's no male or female. There's no gender. So gender is in this life for marriage, for raising children. Marriage or giving in marriage in the resurrection. It's outside of marriage, the sexual of unholy and condemned. Now, I'm only giving you just the... Law goes into all the perverse ways explicitly that this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And many of them are require the death penalty under the law, okay, which all, I believe, relate to this adultery thing. The only place sex is allowed is within marriage, and outside of marriage, there's penalties outside of marriage. Okay? Here's four verses, and I didn't go through and list all of the things, but everything that you hear about, rumor, or in the news anymore that people advocate for rights for is outside of what God has blessed, and He has actually condemned it and will punish it. Okay? Let me read these real quick. Leviticus 20, verse 10, the man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's what God thinks of adultery. Okay? That's how big of a deal adultery is. Deuteronomy 22, 22. If a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die, the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So you shall put away the, what's he call it? Evil from Israel. It is evil. It's not just love. No, it's evil. It's lust, the Bible says elsewhere. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. This should wake you up because this is in the New Testament. In fact, in the epistles. Because a lot of people say, well, that's the God of the Old Testament. God is so nice and understanding in the New Testament. Oh, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, which we are prone to be, self-deceived. Neither fornicators, that is sex, idolaters, nor adulterers, that's sex after you've been married with someone who's not your mate, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Those are God's words. Political correctness aside, God doesn't follow the polls. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. What do you think God thinks about adulterers and fornicators? He has just said that. Hebrews 13:4, still an epistle, New Testament. If you're uncomfortable looking at the book of Leviticus, let's look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all. And the bed undefiled, marriage. Those that have sexual intercourse with someone who is not someone they're married to, right? It's a fornicator. And adulterer, someone who has sex with someone other than their mate after they've been married, God will what? Judge. Okay? So, no. In holy intimacy, and anything outside of that, He will what? Judge. Okay? It's that big of a deal. It's, and you see it in Christendom even. People, they don't get it. And it's like, what part of even the Ten Commandments do you not understand? Okay? Number two now. There's a lot to this. You shall not commit adultery. Okay? God requires to recognize the permanence of marriage. I spelled it wrong, but the spell checker got it right. Right? So, permanence. All right? These are several things. These are all out of the New Testament. The first four out of the Gospels. Matthew 5:32. This is Jesus talking on the Sermon on the Mount. But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except... can't just say, we're no longer married. Okay? It doesn't happen. The only exception appears, seems to be sexual immorality in marriage. So that's how permanent marriage is. And it goes on saying, whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery because God sees her as still being married. Okay? What does divorce end up with? What are your options in divorce? Singleness. Right? Except potentially sexual immorality. If you don't like somebody after you marry them, God says, that's too bad. You're to love them. Right? Matthew 19:9, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Again, divorce does not break the marriage bond in God's eyes, unless it's for sexual immorality. That's what it appears to be. Mark 10:11-12. So he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. Okay, so it hits the men and the women. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Luke 16:18. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her is divorced from her husband commits adultery. It's stated in at least three of the Gospels. Romans 7:3. So then, if while her husband lives she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Okay? So apparently, and just like you see in Scripture, marriage ends at what? Death. So if you're divorced for the wrong reason, you know, because I see it, if sexual immorality exception is there, then there's the capability to be remarried. That's where I land. Some people say no divorce or no remarriage. Okay? Allows for divorce. The question is whether or not you can be remarried. And I say only for sexual immorality, apparently. Okay? Like you said, that, but they understand Scripture. Death is the only thing that once a person dies, then they are free to remarry. Now, let me give you an illustration from my own life. My sister divorced her husband several years ago now. I don't know how long ago. She has never remarried. In my mind, marriage. Not legitimate. My perspective, as I understand it. Number three, questions are number one or two. These are heavy, aren't they? They're heavy things. I'd rather talk about whether Jim is going to participate in the rapture or not. See, now there's some serious discussion here. No, actually, you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, yes. So I asked Jim, it's like, hey, if the rapture happens, can you preach for me next Sunday? But anyway, number four, are we, number three. Sorry. I am being away. sorry. There's all kinds of things. What did you say? Deacons proper him. Okay, number of the page. Number three, God reveals that all forms of sexual immorality, including adultery, are works of the flesh. We are not to live by the flesh, but by the Spirit of God. Look at Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They are obvious. You do not have to wonder, is this right or wrong? Is it okay to commit adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness? And I'm pretty sure all of those refer to more sexual nature. But you don't have to pray about it. Is it okay to move in with my lover? Is it okay to make out with someone who's not my wife because I'm not married yet or something? You don't have to pray about it. God has already said these are evident. They're works of the flesh. Okay? They're works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness. So again, that's why I believe adultery is representative of all sexual immorality. Ten Commandments. It's not saying everything but adultery is okay. In fact, God goes on to explain in explicit detail what you cannot do, and it's any sin outside of marriage, okay? But adultery is the idea that marriage alone is, and that marriage as God sees it, a permanent commitment to your spouse when you are happy or not. It's that permanent. And then all forms of sexual immorality, including adultery, are works of the flesh. You know them, say other things too. All they are fleshly. You are living a sinner lifestyle that way. What number are we on? Number four. Okay. Just testing you. To the back of the page here. God reveals that all of sexual immorality, including adultery, are acts of all forms. Listen again. All forms of sexual immorality, including adultery, are acts of what? Hate instead of love. Okay? Why do people shack up? Why do people get pregnant out of wedlock? Why do people give away their virginity? Because of what? They say they love each other. The Bible says, no, you are hating that person. It doesn't matter how you feel. You are actually injuring that person for your own benefit. Okay, let me read this. Romans 13, verses 8 through 14. This is hard to. Owe no one anything except another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. I'm talking about the Old Testament law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder, and I but for sake of space. And if there is any other commandment, all are as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. All of these sexually immoral things harms your neighbor and yourself, the Bible says. Of the law. And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on armor of light. Let us walk, what? Properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Okay, so All of his actions are acts of hatred. It doesn't matter how emotionally connected you are with the person. Any kind of sexual immorality is an act of hatred because you are hurting them. You are possibly hurting their future mate if you don't marry them. You are hurting children you produce out of that. You are hurting all of those that are around you by your example, by your deception. Okay? It's not love. It is hatred, ultimately. That's what God says. It also says here, don't make provision for the flesh. What does that mean? At our house, it means taking along a brother or sister. You know what? It's not there because people don't trust you. It's there so that you don't have to worry about being tempted. It's very awkward to get intimate with a little brother or sister around. Other ways is staying in the light. One guy I heard one time, he said, and they would go on dates, but they would always park in front of the house. They would each sit on the other side with the light on in the car. The idea is so there's darkness. Tempts. Seclusion tempts. Okay? The idea of being around other people makes it easier. No provision for the flesh. By the way, well, we'll get into this. But it's not going places where you know it'd be tempted and you set up situations. How many here have heard of pastors who've been involved in adultery? Not known pastors. And it's like, but there's all kinds of them. It's devastating. One of the things, and I've heard of books I've read and guys that taught me in class and all of that, is do not set yourself up to be with a woman alone who is not your wife. Have your wife there, have another woman there. I don't know if you ever see it, but out here, if someone wants to talk to me that's a woman, I'm delighted to talk to you, but I will always sit in the back pew where everyone can see us and we talk. That's for your protection and for mine. That's all it is guess what? We're just talking about what you want to talk about. And that is making no provision for the. And that can go into, we're going to talk about entertainment in a little bit, but that can go into the realm of entertainment and all that too. Okay? Because all that goes together, which we'll. Questions up to number four, or comments? Okay. Is this hard stuff to talk about? Yes, it is. There's at least one vote for yes, and this is right up here. Okay? I'd rather teach Greek letters, like on Wednesday nights. Okay? Number five. And this, you'll notice, it's similar to last week. All forms of sexual immorality, including adultery, begin in the hearts of both men and women. I believe somewhere in the Bible it says it takes two to tango. I don't think actually it says that, but it takes willing participants. And guess what? That willingness comes from your heart before it ever acts itself out in reality. And that's true of any sin. You first are thinking about it before you're ever doing it. Okay? Now hang on here. It says of hearts of both men and women. We're going to talk about men first, and then we're going to talk about women after that. Okay? I think both are related. And I'm telling you, there's a war being waged in the American Christian culture today. And it's, I would say that women have forsaken, by and large, any responsibility for dressing modestly. We'll get to that in a second. And they place all the monkey on the back of the men. We say that it's, and they say, well, a man shouldn't be looking at me to lust. That's naughty. That's bad. Bad man. Bad man. And we say that's absolutely true. From a man's point of view, but also God also places responsibility on women to dress modestly. It's a double-sided thing, okay? So men first. This is under number five here. Men. What do the men need to aim for? And this is an overgeneralization, but it's mastery of the mind and the eye. I put them backwards on there. And here's questions that kind of help you evaluate. What are you looking at? And what are you thinking? The mind and the eye. Okay? Now, where do we get this? Where do we get this? Well, let's look at what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount again. Okay? Matthew 5, verses 27 to 30. You have heard that it was said to those of old commit adultery. Where is it found? Well, that's 20 verse 4. That in the law. But what is the problem? They read He says, you've heard it old, you shall not commit adultery. And of course, they draw this little tiny circle that they can stand in that, you know, it doesn't make to me idea. What does he say? But I say to you that whoever what? What does it say here? Looks at a woman to lust for her, has committed adultery with her in his heart. Now what has Jesus done? He's elevated the idea of adultery just from an action to a heart issue and to an eye issue. Right? He says that it's the same sinfulness that ultimately results in it. Whether you ever commit physical adultery, you are still guilty of that sin. Okay? Whoever looks at a woman to lust of her. Now what realms in our day is that different than back then? What do we have today that they didn't have back then that enables you to look at a woman to lust after her? We have print. We have internet. We have TV, you know, movies, media, kind of stuff like that. All of this stuff wasn't even there before. Okay, they didn't have print per se. They had, you know, they could make some papyrus, but that was like very ritzy stuff, and you probably didn't draw on it. It was wasted, you know. They might have drawn a rock on a rock stone wall or something. Okay? But we have print, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a pornographic magazine to be pornographic. There's all kinds of magazines now that aren't men's magazines. They're extremely pornographic. Internet, you know, the internet shrunk the world down to you can go anywhere in the world from your living room. Okay? All the bad places as well as the good places. And then any kind of TV. All right? I didn't have time to look it back up, and I'm not a big John Piper fan. If you know who he is, I'm not a big fan. We're not completely overlapping in our theology, but he had an excellent, I don't know, it might have been a 10-minute audio, why we shouldn't look at nudity. And oftentimes we look at nudity in movies or even partial nudity in sports and all of that. It's okay because of that, even though God condemns that kind of stuff. In reality, I can find it. Well, I know I can find it. It's not a problem. I'm going to post it on our Facebook page for the church. Okay, it'll be there. There's audio, and there's also an article that someone has taken what Piper said and kind of done it and a little nicer. It's nothing inappropriate. It is outstanding. Okay, it was 10 or 12 things. There's a movie called The Game of Thrones that's, and stuff like that. And he's, that was, his answer is not. Okay? And then it makes me start thinking, well, things even that are supposed to be PG that are not PG. Okay? Maybe pretty graphic instead of paragraphs or something. You know, it's not there. But anyway, the idea of what, if you're lusting after anything, a woman, you're committing adultery in your heart. Right? Regardless of any of these things. So is pornography wrong? And it absolutely is wrong. There is no question pornography is wrong at any level. Okay? Even like catalogs can be pornographic. Okay? It causes you to... There's all that. Like I say, anything print and electronic or media-wise. Okay? Notice what he says here. But I say, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her, lust for her, has committed adultery with her in his heart. If you're right, this is how drastic you should be. And I think he's saying it for illustrative purposes. But he's saying, this is how important this is. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. He's saying, if whatever drastic action you have to take to live a holy and right life, that's what you need to do. For it is profitable, more profitable for you that one of your members, one of your body parts, perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And he's holding up the idea that sin is sin and you need to address sin drastically. Okay? Job 31. Job was a man and he wrestled with it. Look what he says here. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? The idea of the look to lust after. Now let me tell you something here, and it'll tie into the modesty thing in a little bit. I heard someone say one time, a guy cannot not look. Okay? We're wired to look. We have to not to look. That's how we're wired. Okay? It automatically draws our attention like a magnet does to metal shavings. You have to not look. And if you see something, you have to choose to look because it automatically draws your attention. You see a poorly dressed woman or something like that, or even a billboard or whatever, you have to not look at that, okay, by choice. 2 Samuel 11:2, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was beautiful to behold. A couple of things here. Who was at fault? How is David at fault? Well, as soon as he saw it, he looked away, but he did not. You, at that point, right? To the point where it stirred up his lust to the point where he committed adultery and ended up murdering her husband, right? I'm saying the immediate here. And you wonder why thing too. Probably have the best eyes view and all that. She could have bathed inside. She's not stupid. Right? I don't think she was doing this unintentionally. What? If David could see her, he could see that whoever is standing up there could see her. Right? Dumb. I think she was being available. Okay? It in no way excuses David. If he would have said, "Whoa, back in the castle," I think at the floor, or I'm the king, you know. Instead, he stares at her, blushed. What? Castle. By the way, Proverbs 6:25. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart. That's where it starts. You start thinking and that's exposing the sin. Most of the sexual predators are deep in pornography. James 1:15, then when desire, this passage of how sin happens, we start looking, but desire is conceived that gives birth to sin. You sit there and lust, and then you sit there and ponder on it. It stirs it up to choose to look away. Cease from sin, enticing them. These are false teachers, by the way. Interesting. I don't know. Maybe I just hear about it more than others, but there's all kinds. I mean, it has to be every couple of weeks. Maybe it's once a month at least. There's some big pastor or some big church that's caught in adultery or something. Right? And I'm suggesting that there are oftentimes false teachers involved too, because they're there feeding themselves rather than feeding the flock. Proverbs 5, if we have time, I encourage you to read Proverbs 5. There's at least children around. For within marriage. You don't want to. Women, said forms of sexual immorality, including adultery, begin in the hearts of both men and women. Women, it's in the realm of modesty. What is modesty in a general term? Just in a very, it can be both for, modesty can relate to men and women. I'm not talking just in the realm of clothing. What does it mean to be modest? He's a modest individual. Humble, that's good. And what does a humble person do? They don't draw attention to themselves, right? A modest person does not highlight me. To clothing or the lack thereof, right? Proverbs 7:10. Now I'm running fast, but hang on here. Proverbs 7:10. It's in the middle of an idea here. Solomon actually hits on it in chapter 5, 6, and 7 in Proverbs, relating to men and harlots. It's a big issue. It's an important issue. But he says, he's telling us, he's watching out his window and he sees this guy. And he's met by a harlot. He says, there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot. Now, would you underline attire of a harlot? I don't want you to describe that for me, but tell me, what is the purpose of the attire of a harlot? I'm not asking you to say, it's this kind of shoes, these kind of clothes, or whatever. But what is the purpose of the attire of a harlot? Snag a man, how? Drawing attention to him, to incite him sexually, to incite him lustfully. What she wears is to draw attention in such a way that he wants her sexually. Yes? Did I get that pretty close? Now, let me step aside here and say, listen, according to God's Word, there is such dress. In a Christian culture, I swear, no one believes that at all. No one believes that anything I wear is any of God's business or your business. I'm telling you, Christian churches, churches that are supposedly fundamental and conservative churches. I'm not talking legalism. I remember my dad singing one time because he had hair on his ears. That's legalism, right? He just didn't have time for a hair guy. I mean, Dad didn't have a lot of hair anyway, you know what I'm saying? So it's like doubly offensive, you know? But, just the exact way. No, you're drawing it to yourself. That man, that what he does with his mind, his eyes, problem, not my problem as a woman, is absolutely unbiblical. Is it a man's responsibility? The answer is yes, yes, yes. But is it also a woman's responsibility? Clearly it is in Scripture. If there's such thing as an entire, there are things that you can wear that will incite men to be sexually. And the Bible, number one, that's wrong. Solomon wasn't saying, boy, is he lucky tonight. He's saying he's caught up. He's letting his heart carry him away in a place where he should not be. He's a fool and he'll ultimately be destroyed for it. That's how that passage ends. Okay? Does the Bible have anything to say about this? Besides, if you believe that there's anything such as a tire of a harlot, then you have to say there's things that you shouldn't wear and things that you should wear. Okay? Without question, you have to come to that conclusion that some things are wrong to wear because of what they encourage men. What are you prompting others to think by what you wear? And it even goes on to say by how you flash your eyes, how you smile, and flirt. The one of the sessions that the set apart girl talked about this week was flirting with guys, even, right? That, you know, I'm available kind of idea. Okay, look at 1 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. In like manner also that the women, by the way, in like manner, in verse 8, holy hands without wrath. So now that I've used the term for not mankind, but adult males, then it goes now to the females. Okay? That the women adorn themselves in what? What does it say here? Modest apparel. Does the Bible talk about this or not? Is this the Old Testament even? Like some people like to throw out the Old Testament in a wrong way, that nothing applies. I don't agree with that wholly. It's modest apparel. There's two parts. Because, by the way, I think most Christian churches say, well, and it goes on to say something about weaving gold in your hair, and we don't do that. Besides, I couldn't afford it. So then it doesn't apply to me. And like, no, 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 no. Back up. First, let's look at what he says here, and then he goes on and adds other stuff to it. But modest, is this word. You could actually translate it orderly. The cosmos is the order, the universe, the design. Okay? Modest apparel. And the idea, as I believe this is talking about, and you could get this anytime you look at the word modest, is the idea, and I put this in accordance with God's created order. Or if you want to say by His, in accordance to God's design. Okay? Modesty is orderly, or if you will, it. What's orderly? It fits into God's order. Okay? Modest apparel It actually talks about its clothing. It's not jewelry like people say later on. That's the word for clothing. In fact, it's the inner cloak. You get an outer cloak too, but at the very least, Jane and I were talking about this morning, at the very least, clothing for women should be covering and loose. See any issues with that in the Christian church today? Covering and loose. Clothing is intended to cover what? Nakedness, right? Genesis chapter 3. Sorry, you don't have to read that far to get that. Right? It's intended to cover nakedness. By the way, both of men and women. That's free. Right? But it's supposed to cover us and be loose. Tight clothes or revealing clothes are not modest. They're not according to God's order. Okay? And it's just flabbergasting. See people, well, why does this not count in Scripture? Okay? Notice what it keeps on saying here. With propriety and moderation. The word, what is it? Who has something other than the New King James? Dory, do you have the King James? 1 Timothy 2, verse 9. You get that? In the King James, propriety is the idea of shamefacedness. The idea that there are some things that are inappropriate to show other people. And sobriety is the idea you're thinking clearly, because what am I going to broadcast and what am I going to draw attention to by my dress? It goes on and defines that whole cosmos, orderly kind of idea. There is a sense of shame, and we have lost our sense of shame. I do not believe, you've probably heard me say this before, but years ago even, as a kid, I saw this. It was a camp. It's just, the women had to wear one-piece bathing suits or two-piece equally modest. Now, you can argue with me all day, but there's nothing modest about a bathing suit if it shows everything you have, right? Equally modest, well, that's pretty easy. You could pretty much wear nothing, and it would be just as modest, okay? The whole idea of modesty, is it loose and does it cover? Well, a bathing suit, that really doesn't do both. Do either, rather. Okay? Does that make sense? Does a man not lust on a beach? Does it work that way? Help me out here. A man doesn't lust in a church building when a girl or a woman wears tight or revealing clothing? You don't think that happens because why? They're in a church building? Really? Then you are, excuse the word, but you're ignorant. Because a man doesn't define lust by where he's at. It's what he sees. Okay? Propriety is shamefacedness and moderation. Everything should be considered by what you wear. And then it goes on to explain extraneous details, like not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing. You're not supposed to draw attention to what you wear or don't wear by clothing, by tight or revealing, and you're not supposed to draw attention by excessiveness, fancy, or all of that. It's not saying you can't wear earrings. It's not saying you can't. It's just like, if it's something that makes someone go, look at you, something you're not wearing, you're showing something that's tight as opposed to loose, or something that's extreme, that is not shamefacedness and sobriety. That is not propriety and moderation. Okay? Because it's drawing attention to you rather than drawing attention to, help me out, God, right? What are you prompting others to think by what you wear? 1 Peter 3, I just want to highlight this because I'm running out of time here, but it says, when they observe your chaste conduct, you might want to underline that. Don't let your adornment be outward. And by the way, merely is supplied. Your adornment should be what? Not the arranging hair, wearing gold, putting on apparel. Apparel shouldn't draw your attention, but the hidden person of the heart is who should come out. That's what they should see when they look at you. Not your skin, but your person. Okay? Titus 2, 3, 5 says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, Notice, verse 5 is to be discreet, discerning. I believe that has a lot to do with being a woman. And then chaste. Chaste in how she acts, what she wears, what she draws attention to. Okay, it's there multiple times. Isaiah 3:16 talks about wanton eyes and the way women can draw attention by their body language, not just their actions. Comment number 5. You shall not commit adultery, I believe, has a lot to do with not encouraging people to adulterize you with their mind, too. Again, is the man responsible? And the woman responsible for her actions. And if she's drawing attention to herself in a sexual way, she is responsible before God, because God says that is not to be. Okay? Number 6. Sexual purity. Is a key element of the Christian walk. Let me just highlight these here. And again, you can see this, that most of these are from the New Testament. We're not talking about things that someone, well, they don't necessarily apply to us today. These all apply to us directly, okay? Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust. Lewdness would be improper dress, for sure, and lust would be a response to that. 1 Thessalonians 4. This is huge. This would be a good memory passage. Sanctification, your holiness. What does he first say? That you should abstain from what? Sexual immorality. Not just adultery. Every kind of sexual immorality. That each sanctification and honor. You should possess your body in a holy way and in an honorable way. And then he goes on to say, contrast, not in passion of lust. You don't live by how you feel, by the urges of your body, like the Gentiles who do not know God. You know better. No, and then this is notice, remember we said any kind of sexuality is a form of hate, not love. Notice that you take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner. You can do that by having a sexual relationship with someone that's not your wife or husband, or the way you dress and draw people attention to you, okay? Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as to uncleanness. He calls all of that uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God. And I could say this, if you reject this, you're not rejecting Kevin, you're rejecting God, because I didn't make this up. I would have wrote it completely different. I would have made it say, you it. And God said that. I didn't make it that. I made you to be holy and happy, and both of those go together. Ephesians 5. Walk in love, as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication, that's it, could include adultery, because it talks about outside of marriage too, and all uncleanness or righteousness, not even be named among you as fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. You for the future flesh. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, these God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Do not and Jesus will die for you. Lastly here. My throat is dry. Sorry about that. Colossians 3. If then you are raised with Christ. If you're a Christian. Okay? If God owns you now because He has saved you from sins. Seek those things which are above. Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. For pride counted you dying. Life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth. And by the way, it identifies very clearly that these put to death. What are they? Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon you. Yourselves once walked when you lived in them or lived by them. Sexual purity is a key element of the Christian walk. So let me review points. God requires us to recognize marriage as the only blessed and holy realm for intimacy. No sexual relations. And by the way, ended for that reason. So understand that. That's why in 1 it says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. He's not kidding. Okay? Number 2, God requires us to recognize the permanence of because marriage is permanent. Okay? It work. God reveals that all forms of sexual immorality, including adultery, are works of the flesh. They're not spiritual at all. And you can put it in any light you want. If you're having sex with marriage, you are not going to God. Period. It's very clear on that. Number 4, God reveals that all forms of sexual immorality, including adultery, are acts of hatred, not love. So you can say what you want. Have all forms of sexual immorality, including adultery, begin with men and women. We need to protect our hearts. And we need to make sure we evaluate our hearts. Sexual is the key element of the Christian walk. You cannot ignore sexual holiness as a Christian. All right, questions or comments? Actually, we're going to finish early when I start. Okay, let's pray. Father, help us see and act upon what you've taught us today. Help us to be encouragers of purity and actors of purity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.